First, a reminder that this Thursday is a holy day, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, August 15th. And you can find the Mass times in the bulletin, also posted on the doors of the church. We'll have Masses, of course, for the vigil on the 14th and then on the day. And just a reminder that if you need to get to work, we do have an early Mass with no music at 7 a.m. in Old St. Mary's. And so it's geared toward people who sort of need to kind of move it along, but very respectfully and beautifully, it is the liturgy. But we just keep that one in mind if you need that one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a clear theme that emerges from that magnificent second reading. It is, of course, faith. It's the essence of what brings you and me under this roof this morning. And it's also one of the most challenged and argued words today in the secular realm, especially by a group of people who call themselves the New Atheists, who are having a huge influence on our youth through social media and the internet. It's a wake-up call for us to get going and getting the message out through the same means. They seem at best, this group, to classify faith as quaint, but they usually excoriate faith and people of faith. They think that it means believing without proof or knowledge. It's a type of superstition, a Bronze Age mythology, etc. In other words, they present faith as something sub-rational and therefore unworthy of an intelligent and mature mind. Well, here are some people of faith throughout the centuries. They include St. Paul, Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Ignatius of Loyola, John Henry Newman, G.K. Chesterton, Edith Stein, Flannery O'Connor, Dr. Alice von Hildebrand, John Paul II, and more. Say what you will about them, but you cannot say that these people are unintelligent people. Now, there are unintelligent people of faith. We run into them all the time. But these people are not unintelligent. And to say that faith as such is unintelligent is ridiculous. Science is usually put forward as the only rational alternative to faith. Now, science is wonderful. The church has, in her day, truly supported that. The father of genetics was a monk, an abbot. He gave us what we have, Mendelian genetics today. Many of the features of the universe through telescopes were found by Jesuit priests, and many more. And I believe it's wonderful as well. It can lead us to incredible heights, and has. My undergraduate degree was biology, and I'm still a biology nerd, always reading about things in biology. Though someone said last night, I always thought you might be a math guy. This must be the glasses, I guess, but it's far from that. But with science, which is beautiful, its scope is the visible and tangible, which you can touch, which you can see and quantify. It doesn't even claim to go beyond what can be measured empirically. It doesn't even claim that it has any influence on that at all. And so now to God. The one thing that God is not is a being in the world. The creator of the universe is not an object in the universe. Before anything was, before there was any creation, before there was anything to quantify and look under a microscope, there was God. God simply is. Therefore, God is not an object that can be studied by analysis, like he might display himself in some way, like Bigfoot. You know, is there a Bigfoot? Is there not a Bigfoot? Well, you can actually do some research and find out. But God is not Bigfoot. It's exactly what God is not. Now, are there rational ways to approach God? Absolutely. Many saints have gone through those proofs of God's existence. But they are not scientific because God does not correspond to that type of analysis. Now, he has come into the world, most famously, of course, of the incarnation. Jesus Christ was someone that could be seen and touched. The sacraments are based on the tangible, including the most blessed sacrament. But even these are not the sum total of who God is, who goes far beyond what our minds even are capable of, because he created everything. So then what is the right approach to God? And then comes faith. Faith is not credulity, simply just believing without evidence. That's not what faith is. It's not irrationality. Faith, John Henry Newman says, is the reasoning of the religious mind. The creator of all cannot be reduced to analysis. We can't put him under the microscope. In this life, we cannot see God as an object. It is a relationship with someone you can't pin down, someone that you and I cannot control. And there's the problem, isn't it? We can't control him. But it's the same with everyone in our lives. Everybody we love them. We love our children, we love our parents, we love our friends. But we can't put them under a scientific analysis in the relationship in order to control them. The love that comes from those relationships is built on trust. We trust them. So God is a free person like this. Our relationship with him is trust, which is intimately linked with faith. And so we see in the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews today, by faith, it says, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place. He went out not knowing where he was to go, because he trusted. It also says, by faith, he had children, even though he and Sarah were both past the age and she was sterile. And yet, it happened. And it said, because he thought the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. And his descendants today still are numerous as the stars in the heaven. And we are in that number as the new children of Israel. You see, faith, when it's lived, gives rise to life. And if you take the plunge and trust, you will find life. In the gospel, Jesus was inviting the apostles to the same when he said, sell all and give alms. Something that can't be measured. But he was inviting them to faith. He was inviting them to trust. And because they knew him and they trusted him, they did it. They went out into the whole world to proclaim it, even to their deaths. And you and I are here this morning because of that, because they loved and trusted him. And that same invitation is given to you and me today, not to superstition, not to belief without reason, but to a trust in the one who is trustworthy, the creator of all that is, who lives outside of all space and time, but gives us nonetheless an invitation to trust and love the one who brought you and me together under this roof this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.